which defensive tackle would make the most sense for the Cowboys in round one? All that and more in this episode of the Locked On Cowboys podcast.
You are Locked On Cowboys, your daily Dallas Cowboys podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Cowboys. Welcome back to the Locked On Cowboys podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'd like to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. I am your host, Marcus Mosier. You can follow me on Twitter at Marcus_Mosier. Joining me, as always, is Landon McCool. Check him out on Twitter at McCoolBCB. Landon, we are talking some draft prospects today, specifically round one defensive tackles. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. You know, it's funny, like we talked about all the trades that have happened this week, and we had a little bit more movement in free agency. It feels like the Cowboys have kind of funneled themselves into the spot where there only is like one or two kind of glaring obvious spots where you feel like they need to add talent. And so now, after kind of seeing some of these moves, drafting a defensive tackle in the first round seems a lot more palatable than it was maybe even 2 weeks ago. So I'm certainly interested to dive into these guys, and I'm certainly interested to talk about their fit for the Cowboys.
All right, let's get into some of these names. We're going to assume Jalen Carter, despite the fall, is going to be off the board. I don't know if the Cowboys are all that interested in Kalijah Kancey, the 6 foot, 281-pound defensive tackle. Let's start with maybe the biggest name on this list. It's Brian Breezy from Clemson, five-star recruit coming out of high school. Long, athletic. What did you think of his tape?
Yeah, not only a five-star recruit coming out of high school, he was the number one recruit coming out of, I think, the 2018 draft class. And some even have ranked him in the top 20 high school prospects of all time. And one of the things I looked at, he's a guy who, let's just talk a little, we don't usually talk about these guys in high school a lot, but this guy had kind of astounding career. He was the number one overall prospect, like I mentioned. He came out of Maryland in kind of an area of Maryland where his competition was not, you know, it's not Texas high school football. It's not California. Awesome. Yeah. It's not Georgia. It's not Alabama. So, you know, the competition was a little bit low. He got tons and tons of offers, ended up at Clemson, and had a very kind of up and down career, right? You know, he obviously dealt with some off field stuff with his, I think his sister got sick with cancer, if I'm not mistaken.
And that,
you know, which kind of pulled him away from the game a little bit. I will say that just kind of looking at his career before we get into the tape, he was a 3 year like regular player on that defensive line. But he was heavily rotated. I think he only saw something like 1,000 snaps in a three-year career, which isn't a ton, right? No. He's got a very unusual body type, right? Where he has very unusual height. He's almost 6 foot six, but he has very short arms. He has for a guy who's 6 foot six, they're 32.5-inch arms. He's very explosive on the get off. He can play defensive end with that sort of ability to explode off the ball. You kind of saw a little bit of that. He moved in and out a little bit. He saw him take some snaps as a three technique. You saw him a little bit as a five, but I mean, he could even kind of do some stuff as a seven. He's just big, you know, explosive and can get moving. He's very naturally strong. I mean, the athleticism is all there, right? Like you can see when he does it right, it looks like Ndamukong Suh or like, you know, another one of these really tall, big, long, athletic, you know, defensive interior guys, except he's not that lengthy guy. So you're not seeing the same sort of like engage, separate, discard. No. It's more of him just exploding into or around the blocker and then trying to shrug guys off as he makes his way to the quarterback. He is all kind of just raw talent. He doesn't seem to have a lot of technique from what I've seen. He's no pass rush plan, no counters really.
He
gets away with it because he's so strong and he's so explosive at that size.
Well, and let me read you the numbers just in case you guys aren't familiar.
Yeah.
6'5" and a half, 298 pounds, 32.5-inch arms, which is short. But a 4.86 40-yard dash.
I tried to go back, you know, when I started looking at his measurables, I tried to go back and see some guys who are comparative to him. Like, at that height and that kind of length, and there just aren't a ton of guys who are taller than 6'5", who have only 32-inch yeah. arms. So, you know, I could see, you know, we talked about, you know, John Henderson or you know, we talked about Ndamukong Suh. You know, there are other guys who play at that height who have that kind of play style that you see Brian Breese kind of or is it Breezy? I haven't actually heard him say Breezy. You see Breezy kind of like, you know, employ, but he doesn't have any kind of consistency. He doesn't have the arm length that we mentioned, so that he doesn't have that aspect where he can, you know, kind of arm out guys and then long arm around. He's just a tall Tasmanian devil that he gets thrown at offensive line, and you hope that he can do something. But
well, I got a size comp, size athleticism let's hear it. Comp. Taven Bryan, who was a guy the Cowboys looked at in the 2018 draft, 6'5", 291, 32.5-inch arms.
Yeah, and that's, you know, not a great comparison. I mean, like, as far as like potential outcomes for a first round pick or, you know, high round picks. You
and
know.
That, I'm not really comparing the play styles, just athleticism and lengthwise. Yes.
Yeah, and that, I think that's the issue, right? Is that, like, to me, I could see getting an athlete guy and then, you know, hyping up the athleticism and, okay, let's work with this ball of clay. And I'm leaning more into those types of guys recently because I feel like a lot of those guys have started to hit more and more, and the NFL is more open to working with those types of players. The problem I have here is that it's incomplete athleticism, you know, like with the kind of shorter arms and his body style. Now I feel like he's an easy target for offensive linemen to hit because he's so tall. He doesn't necessarily use his hands that well, so he doesn't keep his chest clean. He can't really separate guys out because of the length. He doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have, like, advanced technique. So I like him because I think he's an athlete, and I think he can, you know, he's bursty inside. And I can see the upside there, but I feel like, you know, I put down, where does he win? He's an explosive interior pass rusher, obviously. But unanswered question is, can he make himself useful as he develops into a full-time NFL starter? And that's where I have questions, is how much are you going to be able to get of him early?
I think if you line him up as like a three technique and just have him rushing there, I don't know if that's a great thing for him. But if you have him on a defense that slants a lot and does a lot of twists and stunts, that's where I see his best football. Like, when he is awesome in the stunts because – he's so athletic and he plays hard. It's just, do you spend the 26th pick in the draft on a guy that is raw like that, and you just don't know where to play him on first and second down? I don't know, but I am intrigued. I don't have any. A lot of people have been asking me on Twitter the last couple of days, what are my thoughts on him? And honestly, I don't know. I don't have him figured out at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where I have a hard time viewing this as a first round prospect because I need either or, right? Like, okay, you could be an elite technician with, you know, kind of middling athleticism, and I could talk myself into you being a first round pick if it's good enough. You could be an elite athlete with you know, kind of middling technique, and I could talk myself into you being developing into a superstar, right? But if you don't have like the complete package of either one of those two things, like, I think that he certainly can develop, and I certainly think that there is room in the NFL for this type of body style, but it's like incurring a bunch of risk without all the upside that you would normally expect from this kind of athlete.
Although I went back and looked at some names of like guys that are like that 6'6", 300-pound, you know, defensive tackle that run a, you know, sub-5 second 40-yard dash, but don't really have production because Breezy does not.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of names that you don't love. Like, it's Rashad Hageman, who I think it was the Falcons drafted in the second round. There's I mentioned
Robert Ndiche.
Robert Ndiche. Yep.
That's the other guy that I was afraid to throw out there. But like, as far as like physical comp and like production and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, there's some circumstance with both of those players, but at the same time, like, Ndiche was never really able to kind of overcome that circumstance and never really became the player that everyone thought.
Yeah, so he's a tough one to figure out. Again, I'm not going to – the Cowboys end up picking him. I'm not going to crush it just because you are taking an exceptional athlete with awesome size, but still have a long way to go there. Let's talk about maybe one of the best run-stopping defensive tackles in this class, Mazi Smith, next. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. New customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on anything and everything from the money line to point scores and three-pointers drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss a chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Landon, let's talk about Mazi Smith, who I saw today was mocked to the Cowboys in the first round by Daniel Jeremiah. What do you think about Mazi Smith and his fit with the Cowboys?
He's a pretty good athlete, I guess.
Number one on the freaks list.
The dude is a total freak of nature. I put wears 323 pounds like it's absolutely nothing. His body is basically all muscle. Even his fat has got muscle. He is Planet Theory player to the degree, like the nth degree. Yeah. He is at the top of the top of Bruce Feldman's freak list. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've seen anything on this guy in any of the kind of testing numbers, I mean, it's just. It's absurdity. It's box jumps and torque power. And, you know, just Michigan has one of the most renowned strength and conditioning groups in all of college football. And this dude basically broke their weight room. Mm-hmm. He's just.
I saw a story that I was listening. It was Andy Staples was talking about one of the chess machines that they had.
They had to
go and rebuild it because he was maxing it out with one arm.
It maxes out at, I think, is what – so what it is a machine that you take one handle like this and then one arm like this and then you twist. And what you're supposed to be doing is, you know, if you watch offensive and defensive linemen, think Micah Parsons torquing McGlinchey in the playoffs where he just twisted him and threw him to the ground. This guy, this machine that they maxed out at 500 pounds, if I'm not mistaken. They had to go and get a machine that could do 800 pounds because this guy could do 400 pounds on each arm. Yeah. So, like, that's literally breaking the Michigan, weight room in order to kind mm-hmm. of compensate for what he needs to do. That shows up on tape. You see a guy that is strong, like crazy strong. They put two, Penn State, Big 12 offensive lineman on him, and he's not moving, And, like, mm-hmm. I think the word that we're going to hear a lot with him in regards to whether he is going to be a big player in this league is going to be consistency. Mm-hmm. The question of whether he finds it or not will define his career trajectory as far as I'm concerned. You've got all the power and short area burst and quickness you could desire for a guy who's – we didn't even talk about it. He's 6'2", 320 pounds plus. He's got 33 3/4, almost 34-inch arms. Mm-hmm. He's built in a lab to be a defensive nose tackle specifically. He can settle in versus anchors versus doubles. He's powerful in the lower body. His thighs and his calves look like, like somebody's waistline basically. Mm-hmm. And when it looks right with him – when his pad level is low, when he uses his hands to keep his chest clean, he is impossible to move and he's very hard to block. But when he doesn't do that, you see him like jumping at times, like trying to get around guys and like overusing his athleticism as opposed to just his power at times. He gets in bad body position at times. And when he does that, he's easily neutralized for a guy who is 6'2", 320 pounds of just absolute pure muscle. So I think really the key for him is going to be about finding a level of consistency. I don't know that he's ever going to be a pass rusher as a nose tackle, but I'll tell you this. If you put him in the Dallas defensive line with the alignments that they're going to have for their pass rush, and you get this guy lined up one-on-one on a center or a guard, I feel pretty good about this dude pushing that center guard right back into the quarterback's lap. So I think he offers you something as a in the pass rush, but he's not a pass rusher at all.
Well, we've seen other nose tackles come out over the last 3 or 4 years that aren't really pass rushers. I mean, like Derek Brown, Dexter Lawrence, even Jordan Davis, but those guys all went inside the top 20 because I think there was at least a little bit of pass rushing upside. I'm just not sure how much Mazi Smith has.
Yeah, I mean, I think, honestly, I don't know how much he was asked to do it at Michigan, honestly. But beyond that, too, like, he's not, like, you know, swimming around a dude to quickly get into the backfield. Like, you're not going to get that kind of quick interior pass rush that you're hoping for with a defensive tackle pass rusher, right?
This is more of your traditional nose tackle, right?
Yeah, I think you could, you know, on situations where they're throwing the football early in the downs, you know, he can disrupt the pass game by pushing the pocket in, but it's going to be late in the snap. You're not going to get the kind of Aaron Donald, you know, Jerome Hargrave, you know, quick win, knock a pass down, knock the quarterback down before he gets the pass out sort of win. Where does he win? He's an overwhelming, explosive interior power player. Like I said, explosive, not in the sense like Aaron Donald as he's shooting a gap to win in pass rush, but explosive as he will jar your guard and centers back into the backfield. Unanswered questions is, will he find consistency? I think, honestly, he's NFL strong and NFL athletic now. He's ready to play at that position in the NFL right now. The question is his technique ready on a consistency level to play down in, down out in the NFL?
And then on top of that, if assuming he's not ever really a big pass rusher, right? He's really your run stopper. Is that guy worth the 26th pick in the draft, right? Do you draft a run-stopping nose tackle in round one? I think for Dallas, you can make an argument you should, because that's been their biggest weakness forever, right? Like, and if you get that guy, all of a sudden, he makes everybody else on the defense better. And the whole goal for Dallas is like, just get to third and long. You get to third and long, you're going to be just fine. I think Mazi Smith is going to help you, but he's also not going to be on the field when you get there. So it's a little bit of a trade-off, and we kind of historically know how the Cowboys treat this defensive tackle position, which makes me think he's not really going to be an option for them in round one.
Probably, maybe not. I do think that you know, as much as we talk about nose tackles and their value, draft value, I think the other aspect that kind of works against that is that the planet theory and or, you know, supply and demand. Sure. I think that that's the issue that we're going to start running into with some of these nose tackles now, is that there aren't a ton of these guys in the world that can do what they're being asked to do. I know it's not necessarily a positionally valuable trait. You know, it's not a pass rushing defensive end. It's not a pass rushing defensive tackle. But I do think that having a guy who can play kind of three downs worth of nose tackle for you is rare. And so I think, you know, for the Cowboys who are picking at 26, I would remind everyone, you know, this is not a first round player that you're taking likely at 26, unless someone falls to you. So I think kind of taking that aspect out of the value equation, and all things being equal, you know, you line these guys up with positional value cooked into their grade. And if he's still the top ranked player, despite the marks against him for his positional value, pull the trigger on him.
I'm going to ask you a question. Do you like him more than like we like Travis Jones, the UConn defensive tackle last year?
I think I like him similarly. Okay. You know, like I think he's more, you know, it's interesting. Honestly, like the he didn't have the athletic testing quite that I expected him to, right? Like, we know he's a freak athlete because of all the conversations and everything, all the testing that he's done just in the Michigan weight room. But he didn't blow things up quite the way that I expected to.
Well, because he really didn't do a lot. All he did was the jumps.
He never ran 40. He did the vertical, but yeah, I mean, it wasn't, and he did bench, right? He benched
34 on the bench.
Doesn't mean much to me. Yeah. I tend to think that he probably is a better athlete than Travis Jones. But I don't know that he necessarily has some of the consistent technique that Jones did at times. So
yeah,
I would say similar, but they're a little bit different players.
All right. Let's talk about one of the most intriguing players in the entire draft when we get back. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know that you have a favorite Built Bar or Built Puff, and now is your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know that I'm going to be voting for the cookie dough, bar. It's my absolute favorite. And if you want to support your favorite bar to win, then you'll be voting for that bar as well. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have the absolute best Built bar sent to your house every single month. You've got to try Built Bar. It's the absolute best protein bar on the market. Real chocolate, only 130 calories, 17 grams of protein. You absolutely can't beat it. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. All right, Landon, let's talk about Northwestern defensive tackle. I'm sure I'm going to mess this up, but it's Aditamiwa Adebarwe, who I saw today that Mel Kiper mocked to the Cowboys at pick number 26. What did you think of his tape when you watched it?
Yeah, I've got Adetamawa's phonetic name written down right here, just to
there
help
me. Yeah. We're going to, just from now on, we're just going to call him AA or the kid from Northwestern.
Yeah, I think he goes by Tommy too, which is extremely
easy,
helpful.
Tommy.
Yeah. What a freak of nature this guy is. Like, right? Like, he comes in a very tweener package. I mean, that's going to be the issue with this guy. I mean, he has his height is 6'1 and 5'8. So he's just under 6'2, right? Which, you know, I think you can get away with a little bit more defensive tackle, but it's harder to get away with a defensive end. He's 282 pounds, which is heavy for a defensive end, but is light for a defensive tackle. But I think the difference between him and like a guy like Kalijah Kancey is that he has almost 34 inch arms.
Like the Oso Odighizuwa thing where you're 6'1", but you have really long arms and a long.
Yeah. And honestly, I think Oso Odighizuwa I actually put Odighizuwa with a jetpack on. Like yeah. That's my kind of player comparison to him. Right. You know, tweener body with fantastic athletic profile, short, undersized, but explosive with long arms. About 2/3 of his snaps were at 5 technique and outside, about 1/3 of the B gap. But the thing about that is that even that 1/3 of his snaps at defensive tackle meant that he played more than 250 snaps last year at defensive tackle, which is he actually played more snaps at defensive tackle than Brian Breesy did. Yeah. So yeah, did. Like that shows you kind of like, I know that's been a knock against him that, oh, well, I'm not sure if he's a defensive tackle. He's played more defensive tackle than a guy that's a first round potential defensive tackle.
In a better conference.
In a better conference. So I think that kind of shows you something. He engages with good leverage at times, often because he's just so short that his hands often just end up above his eyes, which really helps with his leverage. I don't know that that's always a technique thing. I think it's just a height thing sometimes. So I do think he should focus a little bit more on his hands. But you know, that's one area where I feel like he needs to develop a little bit more, is just making sure he shoots his hands right. He uses his length very well though. And you do see it that when he gets his hands inside, he is able to shed pretty quickly and get around guys because he's just kind of discards them. He is explosive both on the inside and the outside. You see him like able to jolt tackles back and jolt guards back kind of equally, so he doesn't like lose power when he's going inside or outside. I felt like, you know, I think I spent most of my time watching him trying to figure out like what the plan would be with him, right? Because I think
he doesn't have one position. He is not going to slide right into the three technique and play that spot for you.
Yeah, and I think that the issue too is that, you know, he's a 26th option. Like he's not like, I don't think he makes it to 58. Like just based on everything we've seen.
And Mel Kiper today moved him up to his 14th player in his big board and said, my guys around the league are telling me he's a lock top 15 pick. So there's a chance. We're talking about this guy being gone 10 picks before Dallas even drafts.
Yeah, and I think the tough part that's there is that he is kind of a little bit of a tweener. I think that the game is moving towards that, and we should all open our minds to that. And I think that that is something that I'm holding in one hand, but what I'm holding in the other hand is that those guys still haven't started to hit at a high rate yet.
Yes.
Like we are moving toward that, but are we there yet? You know, and are we to the point where you're comfortable drafting a player who you feel good about playing two different positions, but not great about any one position, right? And
I think
that's
on the team, right?
I think
it really depends on the team. I was talking this morning with somebody, and they said, "Well, if he ran a 4.65, would we even be talking about him in round one?" I said, "No, probably not. But the reason we are is because we've literally never seen a player above 280 pounds run a sub 4.5 40 yard dash. Like, you are drafting an outlier in the best way possible. Like, this is a special, special athlete who is still getting better. I think he got better this season. I thought he was better at the Senior Bowl than I saw him in the regular season. So there's just so much untapped potential here."
Yeah, that was something I put in my notes, is that you could tell, you could see the improvement, especially as far as his ability to anchor inside, even in the Senior Bowl practices versus what you saw on tape. I think, you know, for me, there isn't a ton of production here, obviously. There is a heavy amount of athletic kind of, you know, his athleticism is the driving force of his draft stock, right?
Yes. Because it's rare, but,
But I do think that also the thing that we need to remember is that another aspect of what drove his stock, and before even the combine, was how well he performed at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he was one of the best players at the Senior Bowl. And to me, that mitigates a lot of this kind of athlete only type stuff, because you see these guys in real football drills during the Senior Bowl. This isn't like a shorts and you know, workout situation. This is real football they play. So, I tend to think that at 26, you know, like we've said before, you're not necessarily picking a first round pick, you know, first round graded player, right? I think if anybody could find something, a way to make this guy work, Dan Quinn could.
Yeah.
And I feel like, with, as I probably feel about all three of these guys, honestly, I feel confident about the Cowboys' ability to convert on these folks, because I feel confident in Dan Quinn's ability to convert these folks.
What's funny is I feel like Dan Quinn has had versions of this player before, but never anybody this athletic. Because I remember the last year he was in Atlanta, they drafted a guy from your school, Marlon Davis.
Yeah, right?
He was that 6'2", 300-pound edge guy, but they really couldn't figure out what to do with him because he was just too slow to play on the outside, but not really quick enough to play in the inside. Tommy might be that perfect fit of a guy that you move all around, and maybe they view him as the next Michael Bennett, who Dan Quinn had in Seattle, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, right, is that Quinn has a vision for this type of player and has had a vision for this type of player for a long time, and maybe this is the first time he's found somebody that fits the athletic profile again to play the position the way that he wants to. So, again, if I was just talking about a random team, or if I was, you know, watching this player as kind of generic NFL draft guy, I would have some questions about drafting a guy like this. But since my team has Dan Quinn, I would feel good about drafting a guy like this, because I feel like Dan Quinn clearly would be one of the few defensive coordinators in the league that have a good plan for how to use this guy.
Not only that, but he's also going into a defense where he doesn't need to be the number one, number two, or number three edge guy on your team. Yeah. Like, he's not going to be the guy where, you know what, if he doesn't get pressures this week, the defense is going to falter. He's coming into a role where all he needs to do is just be the fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh guy in your defensive line rotation and figure it out. So I think this is a good spot for him. Quickly, before we go, can you rank these guys in order from which you would want the Cowboys to draft them to not draft them?
It's really tough, man, because these guys are all kind of different body types. I think I would probably go with probably Tommy, Mazzy, Brian, Breesy honestly, because I just struggle with Breesy because
I do as well. I don't know. I
need to see one or the other. And it's hard to have incompletes on both sides, athleticism and production and technique. It's like,
I'll go Mazi Smith for me at number one, just because I think Dallas has a lot of everything else. What they don't have is a guy that they feel really good about playing nose tackle, giving them some strength in the inside. And if you have Osa and Mazi Smith playing on first and second down, teams are going to struggle to run on you.
Yeah, honestly, the only reason I mark Mazi beneath Tommy is because of positional value. You know,
sure.
Like but I think that as far as like what the Cowboys specifically need, you know, at this point, having a borderline playmaker at nose tackle, a guy who can actually move the needle in the run game, you know, I think that would be valuable. So I certainly wouldn't poo-poo either one of those two guys.
All right, that is it for today's show. Thank you for making Locked On Cowboys your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to Locked On NFL Scouting Show with the Draft Dudes. From free agency to the draft, salary cap management, and more, join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise every Monday through Friday. Find Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Again, I want to thank you for making Locked On Cowboys your first listen. Check us out on YouTube. Go follow Landon on Twitter at McCoolBCB. I'm at Marcus_Mosier. And we'll see you guys next time.